Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bergen County, and welcome to another edition of Record Talk Radio. It's a beautiful day out there. This is January the 16th, all of 30 degrees outside the Record Talk Radio studios, and I'm going to bring you a really good program today. As you know, we've been doing these conversations with newsmakers and journalists from northern New Jersey for the last 3 years. And today we've got an excellent program set up. We're going to talk first with my Record colleague, Melissa Hayes, who covers Governor Christie's office. Welcome back to the program, Melissa.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And later in the broadcast, you'll be hearing a pre-recorded interview that I did on Wednesday of this week with freeholder John Felice. He's a Republican freeholder in Bergen County and has the distinction this year of serving as the budget chairman, even though the board itself is controlled by Democratic freeholders. So we'll have an interesting conversation with him as well. But first, let's talk to Melissa Hayes. Melissa has been my colleague at the Record for the last 4 years. She started out as a municipal reporter covering towns like Englewood and Englewood Cliffs, Dumont, and others. For the last 3 years, she's been covering part of our State House Bureau and covering the Trenton Bureau. So in that capacity, she covered her third State of the State speech by Governor Chris Christie this week. And an interesting speech it was, Melissa, was it not?
It was. There was a lot of attention on the governor this year since he's one of the many Republican names out there contemplating a run for president.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that you've had the perspective of three speeches, how did this one compare to the two previous that you heard from him?
Well, it's an interesting timeline that I've been covering the governor because the first speech that I heard was predominantly focused on the state's recovery from Superstorm Sandy because Sandy hit in late October and the speech is given in January, and we were still very much trying to rebuild and regroup after that devastation. Last year's speech, I should backtrack for a second. A lot of people were saying that this year's speech is probably the speech the governor wanted to give last year. It kind of sets the tone mm-hmm. for a presumed national presidential campaign. But last year we had the bridge scandal that our paper broke just, you know, about a week ahead of his State of the State speech. So, so this year we heard a speech that it kind of summarized the governor's first 5 years in office, and it didn't offer a lot of new ideas. He did roll out some new items related to drug addiction and helping people recover from those addictions. But it was really just a summary, a highlight reel, if you will, of the governor's first term and the first year of his second term in office. And he talked a lot about traveling the country last year as chairman of the Republican Governors Association and about the feelings people have toward Washington, D.C., and the gridlock we're seeing between the Democratic president and the Republican-controlled House, Congress. So it was interesting because a lot of people kind of listened to his speech and said, we didn't hear anything new for New Jersey. We kind of heard him setting up a national campaign platform.
Right. It was a 43-minute address, and I believe there were just two initiatives rolled out, the other one being something with that former Governor McGreevy has been working on with
That's related to drug addiction.
Inmates.
So basically, the governor announced two things related to that. Basically, they're going to streamline some state services that they already have in place so that if you're someone who's struggling with drugs or alcohol, you can call one phone number with the Department of Human Services, and there will be someone who will walk you through all the various programs rather than you trying to call every program and figure out what's the best fit for you. There'll now be a person to help you with that. And then the other initiative is an expansion of a program that Jersey City's been doing that former Governor McGreevy's running. And it's actually like a one-stop shop. So if you were incarcerated and you had an addiction problem, when you get out, you can go to this place. They'll help you find transitional housing. They'll help you find a job, and they'll help you continue your treatment for the whatever addiction you're suffering from. So it's something that is in Jersey City right now. They're going to expand it to some other major cities, Trenton, Atlantic City, in our neck of the woods, Patterson, Toms River is another one. So It's those were the two new initiatives that we heard the governor introduce in his speech.
Okay. And certainly the speech was riddled with references to very current events here in Bergen County. I mean, he did spend some time talking about the departure of Mercedes-Benz USA from Montvale to a new facility down in Georgia. That was interesting that he brought that up.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And we were curious to see how he would do that because we knew that he wanted to highlight the fact that he's put some corporate business tax cuts in place that have brought some new companies to the state and kept some companies here. But at the same time, we've seen some major companies leave North Jersey, including Mercedes, which is going to Atlanta. Roche, the pharmaceutical company, left. So with Mercedes, though, he kind of used that to continue pushing the Democrats to cut taxes. He said it's not just about corporate business taxes and making this a friendly state for companies to do business in. It's also about making it a friendly state for the people who work at those companies. And he made the argument that Georgia has much lower taxes. So, you know, a company is going to want to go somewhere where there's lower income taxes so that maybe they don't have to pay their employees as much money to afford to live where they're locating. So this is something he's been pushing for a couple of years now is an income tax cut. And and he's still pushing the Democrats.
Right. Though it's interesting, I read the speech over again today. He specifically said he's going to say no to an income tax cut. He called that the Trenton way of solving problems. But he didn't say anything specifically one way or the other about this other discussion point of a gasoline tax. As you know, gasoline's actually come below $2 a gallon. There are a lot of people talking about using it to bolster the transportation fund in the state, the much beleaguered transportation fund. Christy didn't specifically say anything about it. Has he talked about that, though, elsewhere? Has he said anything about, you know, don't send me a gasoline tax or I'll veto it?
No. So it's interesting that you say that because he had said for a long time, I'm not going to approve any new taxes. And what we heard him say in the speech was that he would veto another income tax increase because the Democrats almost annually, actually, because he's vetoed it four times now, have sent him a millionaire's tax increase to try and add more money, add more revenue to the state that way. So he said, I will not support an income tax increase, but he didn't say, I will not support a tax increase. So we kind of felt like maybe that left the door open. And he was asked about the gasoline tax actually last night on his monthly radio show on 101.5. And he said, as he's been saying, that everything's on the table. So he is considering it, but he's still negotiating with lawmakers, and he doesn't like to have those negotiations out in the open, so he's not really telling us where he's going. But the Transportation Trust Fund is essentially broke, and they need money to fix the roads and bridges, so it's going to have to come from somewhere.
All right. You know, we talked about the fact that he only rolled out two initiatives in this year's speech. How is that unusual? I mean, don't most governors use this speech as a platform to highlight their new initiatives?
It's interesting. So in the past, we've heard him call for an income tax cut in this speech. So he has definitely used it to make some major policy announcements. But it always is also kind of a highlight of things that have been accomplished in the last year. The governor used this speech to highlight his last 5 years. Some people were saying, well, maybe that's because not too much happened last year. The governor spent a lot of time traveling out of state campaigning for other governors as chairman of the Republican Governors Association. They did do some major things last year. We saw bail reform for the first time, and they also the arbitration cap was renewed. The interest arbitration cap was renewed, which was a big thing for contract negotiations. But we, you know, we heard also a lot about things he did in the past, and the Republicans kind of dismissed this idea that he needed to come out with some big major policy announcement saying, well, you know, the budget announcement is in a month. He can do things then. That's when he's going to have to put dollars to these ideas. So they're saying there's still plenty of time for us to hear what his big agenda items are for 2015.
That's true. That's true. This is not the be-all and end-all of speeches here.
No, but although last night he... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
But no, I was going to say, last night on the radio show, he was asked to name his top priority for 2015, and he said he couldn't just name one. You know, he said there's a couple things that he'd like to work on this year. So I guess we'll just have to see what really shakes out and becomes that number one priority. But he, they definitely have to address the state pension issue. That's something that I think will be a priority this year.
Okay, good. One thing that I found amusing, just reading about it from afar, was this flap over his meeting with the national media folks prior to the speech, and kind of a session that the local reporters, such as yourself, were shut out of. What was the reaction among the Trenton press corps when they found out that he was doing that?
Well, they weren't happy. So just to give you some context, in the past, traditionally, the local reporters who follow him all the time, you know, we're not just the people who parachute in for these speeches. We go to all the ribbon cuttings and the groundbreakings and all of his events. Usually we get interviews ahead of the State of the State address. It's kind of like a look-ahead interview where we can ask him questions about his priorities for the upcoming year. They've done those in the past. Last year's were canceled because they were scheduled right after we broke the bridge scandal.
Sure.
But this year we were told they might do interviews, and then they ended up not doing interviews. So then we find out on the day of the State of the State address that there's all these national reporters here, and they're getting shown into the governor's office for a sit-down with him that we're not allowed into. So it kind of, I think, a lot of people just felt like, you know, we cover him all the time. We usually get some sort of access ahead of the State of the State address, and we've been cut out for the national media now. Some people felt like it just showed that he was more focused on running for president than he was, you know, for running New Jersey, because it was the State of the State speech, and we're the state reporters.
Yeah, right. Although I gather he had a funny remark in that radio interview last night. He called the
he did.
Local
he
press
called
for children.
He did. He clearly wasn't too happy with our reaction, and he called us children, and I think he called us self-centered also. You know, we're the people who cover him all the time, so you know, we did feel a little slighted by what they did on Tuesday.
Sure, I read pretty carefully stuff about the governor. I don't recall seeing any big national stories though out of that. Private session. Did he get much coverage of his State of the State speech that you saw from the national media outlets?
There was coverage. It's funny. It wasn't as much as the year prior because Bridgegate had just broken last year. There were so many national media outside. I mean, they had tents set up. There were satellite trucks lining State Street. This year, it was a much more muted event. There was the New York Times did cover the speech, the Wall Street Journal did, but the Wall Street Journal is normally there. They have someone who covers Christie pretty regularly, and and ABC was there, and NBC and CNN. CNN actually was there, and they were interviewing people, lawmakers, about the speech afterwards. So he did get a little more coverage than an average State of the State speech, but not quite as much as last year.
Okay, good. Hey, where is he today?
He is in Iowa today. He is with Governor Terry Branstad, who won re-election last year. He's attending Branstad's inauguration. This is kind of part of a victory lap that the governor's been doing since he helped so many Republicans win state races last year as his role as chairman of the Republican Governors Association. So he's been to he was in South Carolina on Wednesday. He's in Iowa today. And he'll finish this victory lap on Wednesday in Maryland, where that was kind of an upset race. Governor Christie, at the last minute, decided to dump some money into that race. He actually put the RGA into some debt, but it paid off because Larry Hogan, a Republican, won Maryland, which is it's the first Republican in a very long time to win in Maryland. So so the governor is going to wrap up his victory tour there, and then there's rumors that we could hear more about a potential presidential campaign taking shape once he's done celebrating the election of all these governors.
Right. In fact, isn't there some upcoming session in Iowa that has been described as kind of a precursor to a campaign event?
Yeah, next weekend, actually Charlie Style from our office will be up in Iowa, the Iowa Freedom Summit. It's a conservative event One of the hosts is Rep. Steve King. The other one is Citizens United, which is famous for their campaign finance lawsuit that allows corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money to candidates and super PACs. The event is bringing a lot of potential 2016 candidates. So it'll be really interesting to see what Governor Christie says to this conservative crowd, and if he interacts at all with these other people who want to run for president as well. Mm-hmm. And people have said that this could be like a soft launch to his candidacy. But we don't expect a formal announcement really from anybody until later in the spring. It's still very, very early.
Okay, good. Of course, the idea of a Jersey guy like Charlie Stiles in Iowa is in and of itself a delight to me. Can't wait to meet what he's like. You know?
He's hung out with Steve King a few times because Governor Christie was out there a couple times last year. So so Charlie will he should get to know his way around Iowa at this rate.
Good, good, good. Well, Melissa, a pleasure as always talking with you about all things Christie, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the program later this year.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
All right. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Record Talk Radio. It's an ongoing series of conversations with newsmakers and journalists from throughout northern New Jersey. I should mention a program note. A week from today, Record Talk Radio will be featuring an interview with Maura DiNicola, one of the two Republican freeholders on the Bergen County Freeholder Board. But let's turn our attention now to an interview that I did on Wednesday of this week with John Felice. John is a freeholder from River Edge, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, he is the chair of the Budget Committee for the Freeholders this year. So in our conversation earlier this week, we talked a lot about the budget. Let's listen in.
Well, John Felice, welcome to Record Talk Radio. It's good to have you back again.
Well, thank you for having me.
To say the least, we had an interesting election season. And now you are chair of the Budget Committee.
Correct.
First time, in my understanding, that the majority party, in this case the Democrats, have reached out across the aisle to the minority party to have somebody be a chair of anything, never mind an important committee like budget.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not surprised. I've worked very closely in a very positive way with my colleagues on the Freeholder Board, whether it was with the realignment of the county police or the issues of Bergen Regional and what to do with that institution. And I was appointed chair pro tem third year in a row,
right,
as a minority party member. And I take that with great honor, being asked to chair this budget. And some people have said, be careful, you know, they're setting you up for failure. But I respectfully disagree. I think I'm being set up to be very successful, not just for my party, and I'm a proud Republican, but more importantly for the people of Bergen County, every person that I serve for and for their best interest. So it's going to be a very collaborative process, and I take at face value very sincerely their position to ask me is and their request to ask me to chair the budget.
Okay, good. Now, as you know, departments have come in with requests that, so far I'm told, total somewhere like $18 million over and above the 2% cap. Isn't that going to make your life a little more complicated?
Well, it's interesting. When I came into office, the McInerney administration, they presented their budget to County Executive Donovan, and there were similar large increases, if you get my drift, mm-hmm. with their budget requests. And I think here, too, I think it's great, quite possible that was the case as well with the outgoing Donovan administration. So from what I understand, the executive has asked the budget or the new department heads to review their budget, resubmit it to the county executive, and then at that point he will then present it to us. So I hope that there'll be a reevaluation of those expenditures. And in turn, we're going to probably get this budget later than we normally do, maybe sometime early March.
Okay.
It's possible.
All right, good. Now, Jim Tedesco won this year, or last year rather, in part because he rolled out several interesting initiatives that resonated with voters, but that are going to cost money. As his opponent pointed out, every one of these things are going to cost money. How do you meet the challenge of having some promises out there that have, that he's going to try to keep, but live within a budget that even before those promises were made was already tight?
Well, his remarks regarding Bergen Regional and providing veteran services, I think, is an excellent one. What we need to do is work closely with the VISN and veteran services on the federal level to see if we can work with them to provide those services in a cost-effective manner. Regarding transportation, we get a lot of grants, and our department has to do a great job in obtaining millions of dollars in grants, and why couldn't we be able to provide or request grants from the federal government, or for the state for that matter, but probably the federal government, to provide better transit? Because as a person that drives for a living, I'm in sales, and I cover a number of the boroughs, and I drive through New Jersey, traffic is probably one of the number one issues and congestion for the residents of Bergen County and the whole area. So I think that there may be costs to that, but let's see if we can, you know, we send a lot of money to Washington. We send a lot of money to Trenton. Let's get some of that back, rightfully so, for the needs of our constituents in Bergen County. I think we can do that.
Good. Speaking of Bergen Regional, one thing that came up last year was you really were not happy with the previous county executive's task force. Mm-hmm. Jim Tedesco has promised to do a new task force to look at the future of that institution. Are you hoping to be a part of that effort?
I would very much like to be a part of that process. I think I bring forth a unique perspective as someone in the healthcare arena for the past 20 years, both on the product side, working with large integrated health networks, as well as public institutions. So I think I could add something to the very important decision that's before us that will affect people that need our help the most. And in areas where Bergen Regional has specialized in, that's behavioral, substance, and long-term care. So I hope to be, and I've spoken to the executive recently about it, and I hope to be a part of that process.
All right. You know, we're talking here on the 14th of January. The Freeholders were going to take up the much-talked-about consolidation plan of folding the county police into the sheriff's office. That's been touted as something that's going to save money. Do you think that's going to save enough money that it will actually be reflected in this year's budget?
I think there will be cost savings. I think right off the get-go is that we had the chief resign, and that was about $200,000 just in salary alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I see additionally some of the officers retiring, going over to the prosecutor's office, going into other departments, as well as moving over to the sheriff. So I think there will be. I think there will be savings in labor, salaries. I think there will be savings in infrastructure and vehicles. And I believe that it will be. I mean, certainly I would have – our original plan was to dissolve the county police outright. But, you know, something – part of my job is to work with others and to compromise. And I think this is a good compromise, and we need to take this initiative. – So I think there will be savings, and now it's a matter of managing this process in a way that maximizes those savings.
Okay. We're only 14 days into this administration, but what are your thoughts on what Jim Tedesco has done so far?
Well, one thing that I appreciate, and he stated, and I've been able to go across the hall without having to be...
That's right, your badge works
badge.
Now.
And I think it is so important to have an open door policy, and I try to have that as Freeholder, where mm-hmm. I've had employees and people come to my office and they said, "Oh, I've never been in a Freeholder's office." And I say to them, "This is your office. I'm just the keeper of it until I leave office."
Right.
And I think Jim comes from a very varied background of working for a utility company, being mayor for a number of years in one of the biggest towns in Bergen County. And Freeholder, and now as executive. And I think any good leader will do better by inclusion instead of exclusion. And I hope that he continues with that philosophy as he's began, and I look forward to having that continue throughout his tenure.
All right. You have a lot on your plate. You're going to be the budget chair. Yeah. You'd like to be involved in the deliberations on the future of the hospital. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to specifically to work on as Freeholder this year?
You know, I think that's probably one of the bigger jobs. I mean, our main responsibility is the budget and getting that put together, getting it passed by June so we could begin the other activities. I mean, certainly the realignment of the county police was very important. I hope to execute that very shortly, and Bergen Regional. But I think that many times things come up that we'd never expected, whether it's Sandy or whether it's other situations that become before an elected official. And so I think that if I could focus on those items, the budget, county police realignment, and Bergen Regional, I think that will be a successful year.
Okay. Well, John, thanks again for being our guest on Record Talk Radio.
Well, thank you very much, and have a great day.
Okay.
Okay, folks, that was my interview with Freeholder John Felice, and that is our program today. So thank you for tuning in, and be sure to listen next week, a week from today, when Maura DiNicola, the other Republican Bergen County Freeholder, will be our guest. Should be an interesting conversation. In the meantime, stay warm, and talk to you later. So long.